There's something fishy going on with some of the cars in the parking lot. Just as there's something kind of fishy going on with respect to certain articles of clothing and backpacks and jewelry and a variety of other things. And this particular fishiness looks something like this. When I last presented a chapel address, I was speaking about the way in which historic creeds are used as a concise way of confessing one's faith in Jesus as the Savior. But the creeds are certainly not the only way in which that can be done. One of the most succinct ways of identifying oneself as a believer in Jesus is through the simple symbol of a fish. The use of a fish to represent Jesus is not something which is found in the Bible itself, and apparently there's some debate as to how and when this particular symbol emerged. But it does seem safe to say that next to the cross itself, the symbol of the fish has come to be the most readily recognized and frequently used emblem or symbol for Christ and Christianity. And even though the Bible itself doesn't make reference to this symbol for Jesus, there certainly is sound biblical basis for the traditional explanation of how this came to be. For those who may be a little fuzzy on the traditional history, allow a very brief review. The Greek word for fish is ichthys, spelled out here, which serves as an acrostic by which each letter of the word represents the first letter of an additional Greek word. The yoda is the first letter in the Greek word Jesus, Jesus. The he, the first letter in the Greek word Christos, Christ. The theta is the first letter in theou, which means of God. The ypsilon represents huios. And the last letter, sigma, begins the word soter, which means Savior. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And how nicely that acrostic summarizes some of the points made by the Apostle John in his first letter, where in chapter 4 we have these words. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's it. And how simple is that? The facts that are represented by this simple acrostic, this symbol, are all that one needs to know for eternal life. For everyone who believes that Jesus is the prophesied Christ, the only Son of God, who came to be the Savior of the world, is saved. John says very dramatically, God abides in him, in that person, and he in God. As simple as that is, however, it's amazing to see that that simple truth, that simple summary, is completely unattainable by the natural human heart. For sin so darkened man's natural understanding of things spiritual that even though the Lord has made it very simple, it's something that cannot be naturally grasped. We are unable by nature to recognize that Jesus is God's only Son and our Savior. Even worse, we were not by nature even interested. Learning about the Savior and having our understanding of God deepened through a study of His Word had no appeal, which means that we had no spiritual life. We were grasping at straws. We had nothing in our future other than eternal destruction. The world is fishing for answers, but it blindly goes right past the one in whom all answers are to be found. It is only by God's power and grace that we have come to believe in the one who is represented by ichthys, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Also in John, he writes of the Spirit whom he has given. God has given us the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament to replace our darkness with light and our blindness with sight. What could be more simple? What could be more gracious? God provided the atoning sacrifice for our sins, which we were unable to provide. Jesus came to serve as our substitute, to live our life, even die our death. And the Holy Spirit now creates saving faith in that Son and Savior that we might have eternal life. Simple, simple, simple. But fragile, fragile, fragile. when something is simple, it runs the risk of being taken lightly. It's easy for us to slip into the thinking that I can easily retain that much information. I can hold on to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, and therefore have eternal life all taken care of. And yet, John finds it necessary to warn that there are very intent and determined adversaries out there who want to destroy that simple confidence, that simple saving faith. Identifying for us the Antichrist, he speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and now is already in the world, and he speaks elsewhere of many Antichrists. When we identify with Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior, we become the targets of the demonic opposition in the world. One little example can be seen, of course, an example of this animosity in what you probably have noticed on other bumper stickers out there, the same symbol of the fish to which people have added feet and replaced the words that we have with the name Darwin. Who is a liar, John asks, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. The devil and his hosts mock biblical revelation and attempt to destroy our faith by discounting the reality, the validity of the faith that we confess. But there is a defense: studying of God's Word. This is one fish we don't want to get away. We don't want to lose our grasp on this true identity of who Jesus is. Therefore, adds John, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. By diving into the Scriptures, we are kept close to this fish, so to speak. The Word of God is that which alone can strengthen and bolster our fragile faith against all the onslaughts of the devil and lead us to even additional understanding and revelation. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and the only Savior is all that's necessary to be saved, but that's only the beginning. The Bible is an ocean of divine revelation through which we are directed to gain an even deeper knowledge and understanding of our Savior. And as we dive in, we benefit not only from a strengthening of our faith, but from a discovery of the things for which all human spirits thirst. It's in God's Word that we find the true meaning of life, the proper way to view this world, and the things that provide lasting joy and pleasure. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, know that and you have eternal life. And yet that's only the beginning of the wonderful things that the Lord has for us to discover. May the Spirit, therefore, through an ongoing study of God's Word, keep us hooked on the simple summary of salvation and enable us to catch for ourselves the bountiful blessings of an increased knowledge of that Savior. The hymn for this morning is hymn number 363, all verses, hymn 363.
What?